good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty? What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, S Man Tooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of Movie Review Crew.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in everybody to another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm going to be your host, Shane Chronican, and joining me is Matt McNeil.
Hello.
And Aaron Chronican.
Hello.
And we have an excellent episode for you today. We will be getting to Candyman, the 2021 version, which I'm happy it's us three, because I went back and looked. I couldn't remember. It's been a while. But when we reviewed the 1992 Candyman, the original, it was just us three. So I think that's going to allow us to do some comparing, contrasting, discuss it as a whole, things like that. So that'll be interesting. That'll be fun. I'm excited. Before we get to that, though, what have you guys seen lately, if anything?
I finished up watching Ozark. That was pretty good. And then I started watching Obi-Wan. I'm about three episodes into that, and that's pretty bad.
Yeah. It gets better. I also watched Obi-Wan. I just finished Obi-Wan, actually, and I think it would have worked better as a movie. I don't think they had six episodes to drag it out. I think a bigger budget would have helped and a streamlined story, and frankly, a better director. I was not impressed with Deborah Chow's work on that, especially in the action sequences. And I don't know, a lot of it felt cheap. But that being said, the payoff in the final episode was 100% worth it for me. There's a scene that's going to rank up there in among the best of all scenes in all of the Star Wars. I really, really loved it. So the payoff at least was worth it. But as a whole...
And I will say, I'm not hating it. It's just not good.
Yeah, it feels cheap to me. It feels like
I'm enjoying it. I like how they had to shoot Hayden Christensen at a low angle to make him look taller, because he's not 7 feet tall like David Prowse.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, I watched that too, and like I said, the payoff worth it, but for the most part, I don't know. Didn't feel great. The only other thing I watched was my wife picked Marry Me with Owen Wilson and Jennifer Lopez, and that was fine. It was, I mean, it's a typical rom-com. No diverting from the typical stuff you see in every single rom-com ever made, but it was fine. They were likable enough. It was enjoyable enough. It was all right.
Oh, that's, I guess, because I wasn't here last week, or the week before, I don't think, but I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, and as it stands right now, it's looking to be the best movie of the year for me. It's very, very good.
I've heard great things about it, and I will eventually get to it. I haven't yet, though.
Yeah, it's still $20 to watch.
Yep, that's why. I'm waiting. I'm not paying $20 to rent a movie. That, there's no way. And I'm not buying it.
I'm going to buy it.
I'll have a physical copy.
I mean, and if I'm spending $20, I better be at a theater for multiple people.
Right.
Or in my own damn house. Oh, wow. Yeah, the way prices are now. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's what I want to see. It was on Matt's list for most anticipated. It's an A24 movie that's getting great reviews. So there's nothing that would lead me to believe I wouldn't like it. But I'm not going to pay $20 to see it.
No, not at all. Not at all. What have you seen, though?
Two movies from 2022, one called Metamorphosis, which I saw on Rotten Tomatoes. It had IMDb. It had a great score, but then I didn't realize there were only like 200 reviews. So it's probably just the filmmaker's family members just like, hey, great job. Yay. 10 out of 10. Because it was up, it was ranked very highly. I can't remember where it was, but it was a bad movie, a really dumb, slow, bad movie. And I wish I had not watched it. Another one on Shudder. I told you I have the AMC subscription for a while. So with that, I get Shudder. And there was a new release on there called Off Season, which from what I read was kind of like what they called a mix of basically like a H.P. Lovecraft type of thing mixed with almost a Silent Hill type of thing, which got me intrigued. And it wasn't great, but it was at least watchable, at least for a horror movie that just relied mostly on atmosphere. And it was, I can't remember the actress's name, but she was in House of the Devil, which was a Ty West horror movie. I don't know if you've seen that one, but yeah, she was pretty good.
Speaking of him, Matt, have you seen the movie X yet?
Yeah.
He saw it before any of us did.
Okay, I couldn't remember. What did you think of it? Because Aaron didn't like it, mostly.
No,
probably because
I said I did like it. It's just not my type of movie.
You said it was, you said it was fine, not great.
It was, I'll rewind the tape. Exactly. It's exactly what I said. It is an extremely well-made movie that hardly did anything to elevate itself away from all other movies of that genre.
I don't think that's true. I thought it was an interesting spin on a slasher flick. I did, while I was watching it, my wife walked out into the living room from the other room and goes, "Are you watching porn?"
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but it's about that kind of.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, and I did say when I gave my little mini review thing that it still has one of the scenes that so far ranks in the top 10 of the year. There is kind of a montage scene of, I don't know, I don't want to say anything because it's going to spoil, but in what boils down to basically just a slasher movie, it made you really feel for the characters with one little montage scene that I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, he's a good director. I've liked a lot of the things he's done. That's when I'm so far behind on my movie list. I've got to start catching up.
So yeah, you've watched about 10 movies each, something like that.
I'm at about 20.
Yeah, well, for what I have written down for you, you are at a grand total of 18.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch just some pointless bullcrap that I find on IMDb that has 20 ratings that say it.
Eh, I think I okay. I might be at 10.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. So that's all I watched for 2022. But then I did want to say I revisited Interstellar. I rewatched that. You say, "Oh no!" And I love that movie. I don't know if
I wouldn't say love strong.
Telling you, I was in tears crying three times in that movie.
Interstellar and Cold Mountain. I don't know what's wrong with
it. Okay. The scene, and maybe it hits harder if you have your own kids because you're thinking about that, but the scene when he is on that planet and then Anne Hathaway is an idiot because she's an idiot and they lose 23 years in a span of minutes. And he comes back to the ship and has to catch up on his own children's lives over videos that span. That hits hard. Yeah. And it's just McConaughey acting through. I mean, in a span of minutes, seconds, he finds that he watches his children grow up over this video. He finds out he's a grandfather just in the next video to hear that his grandchild passed away. And then it's his daughter giving. I mean, that scene is tough.
Yeah,
I think that hits hard, have you seen the director's cut of Army of Darkness when instead of waking up in the present time, he sleeps too long and wakes up in a post-apocalyptic world and he freaks out about it? That's some top quality acting from
those. Hit real hard for you.
I bet, yeah. I think the things that make me cry might be a little different than that. But yeah, I was legitimately like tearing up, like, you know, bottom lip quivering on the verge of sobs, because it just, I don't know if maybe I was especially moody that day, but man, it hit hard. That movie did.
Yeah, that movie's hit hard. Yeah, that scene hit me hard when I first saw it. I like that movie. I like the ideas of it.
It's way too damn long, but... and they could have cut so many things easily.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't even need to have a son. The whole movie is about his relationship with his daughter. But anyway, we're not reviewing that movie, except for the fact that I will also say that soundtrack is still one of my top 10 favorite soundtracks of all time. I love, love, love it.
Yeah, I will say about Obi-Wan, go back to that. That scene that I specifically talked about, that hit me. Like, this whole, the whole series, I'm like, man, Ewan McGregor's way too good for this. This is not good. It's just not doing it for me. And then that scene comes and he just goes full out and it just hit me. And it hit me. I started tearing up. It was an amazing scene. I still stand by that Ewan McGregor is one of, if not the greatest thing that ever happened in the Star Wars universe. He's way too good for the material he's been given. And it's
the universe as a whole. I don't think.
Yeah.
So.
The entire
universe as a whole is pretty awful.
But anyways, moving on. I want to play a game.
We already did Saw.
I want to, yeah. Where's that sound? I need a soundboard like Mike had back in the day. So we're into summer now. We're close to almost being done with June. So I've got the big releases pulled up for July, and I want you to tell me Pass,
Bullet Train,
or Pumped. Whether you're just zero interest, whether it's like
are whatever, we gonna or smash your pass on excited. July releases?
So here's number one. I pretty much know the answer for both of you on this one, but Thor Love and Thunder.
Pass.
Nope.
See, I was hoping maybe I was well, not hoping. I don't care one way or the other. I was thinking it might at least be in the meh section for you.
Okay, you know what? I will change it. Yeah, it's Taika and it has Christian Bale and it's not the same cookie cutter Marvel stuff. So
yes, it will be.
No, because it's Taika Waititi. They let him do whatever the hell he wants to.
You know how chefs on cooking shows take something basic and they just say, this is my elevated take on a PB&J. Uh-huh. You know?
All that means is that they're going to charge you $50 for it.
Right. This is Taika Waititi's elevated version of a Marvel movie.
It's going to be the same Marvel movie, but it's going to cost me double.
But elevated. the next one, The Gray Man.
Pumped. Never heard of that.
Never even heard of it. It's Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans in an action thriller directed by the guy that did
the two guys, the brothers.
Yes, the Russo brothers who directed the Winter Soldier.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of Ryan Gosling, so I'll put it in the meh category.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
I'm excited to see, because those guys did Community, or a lot of the TV show Community. And for a dumb, goofy show, the action scenes were actually pretty incredible.
Oh, they were great. And the action in Winter Soldier,
one of the more respectable
Marvel I still movies. Say that was some of the best action in any Marvel movie.
I am excited to see what they can do outside of the Marvel universe, which I mostly don't like.
All right. And moving on to the next one. This is one that you made. Not even have heard of or know, but it's based off of a very popular novel, so I figured I'd throw it in there. Where the Crawdads Sing.
That's a
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
Familiar with the novel.
Fine. And the movie looks fine. So I'll watch it, but I'm not excited. Last one, and I know Matt's answer on this one. I'm curious on Aaron's. Nope.
Oh,
pumped.
See, I'm pumped. I'm pumped. I'm definitely pumped. I'm excited.
You make me feel like
after.
Have you guys seen the Larry David commercial?
No.
Where all the
cable? I don't watch commercials.
It's on Hulu. It keeps popping up, but all these brilliant ideas. You know who Larry David is, right? The comedian. He did Seinfeld, and he was in his own show. But anyways. All these great ideas, like some guy comes up and shows him the wheel, and he's just like, that's just not a good idea. And somebody shows him a fork. He holds up his hands. He's like, I got 10 forks right here, baby.
Like, you make me feel like that because every answer I'm like, it's just not doing it for me.
I'll be honest. I was looking at, I mean, those are the big movies. That's the
Bullet end of
the
Train list. Is coming out in July.
That's August, I thought. I'm pretty sure that was Bullet early Train. August. Unless it got it's moved
July,
up.
July. It comes out right before my birthday.
Ah, okay.
Our birthday.
Well, then, the Bullet Train.
Pumped. Absolutely pumped.
Yeah, I don't know. Brad Pitt is Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but that, I mean, the trailer for that, Brad Pitt
shows a lot of Brad Pitt.
And it looks like he's just having fun.
Yeah, well, it's still Brad Pitt.
Okay, it's Brad Pitt, fine. It's David Leitch. That's in a box right there. Or however you pronounce it. Michael Shannon, Hiroyuki Sanada, Logan Lerman, who I haven't seen since the Tank movie. Gosh.
Fury. Yeah.
Our boy ATJ is in it.
Not helping. The meter. I need to show a meter just dipping back towards the pass.
Some guy who maybe is a rapper. I don't know. He's listed on here as Bad Bunny.
No, that's, you don't know Bad Bunny?
No.
Nobody knows Bad Bunny. I have no idea.
I maybe he's a musician.
Yeah, I don't see. That's the thing is, I was really excited about David Leitch going off of John Wick. And he's done some good things, don't get me wrong. But then he's done some that's like, like he did that Hobbs and Shaw, and it's like, okay, come on, let's go back to, and hopefully this is what this is. This is why I'm excited, is I'm wanting him to go back to the kind of lower budget, smaller scale, grounded action movies.
Somebody else did Hobbs and Shaw.
Am I thinking of the other director of
maybe he did. He wasn't credited as a director for Hobbs and Shaw. Weird, but he definitely. Oh, because I'm looking for Hobbs and Shaw, and it's called Fast and Furious
Presents
Hobbs and Shaw. Get out of here with this damn franchise. Let it die.
Let the old things die.
Anyways, the reason I'm excited for this is I'm hoping it's him going back to a more grounded, not necessarily realistic, but something that represents the real world of action and not these big CGI, you know, spectacle movies.
That's the world we live in.
I know, but I don't want him to do that. And it matters. All that matters is what I want, right? That's what
the, being a fan, the action renaissance is at least 50 years away yet.
Not true. Maybe for theatrical action, maybe, but
mainstream
action. We're in it, undoubtedly. But that's that game. That's I guess my thoughts on July are mostly just
Yeah. I'm excited for Nope.
That's probably the number one. Out of those, which are you most excited for, Aaron?
Probably The Gray Man.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully that doesn't disappoint. That's Netflix though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But that's fine for me. I'd rather watch it from my home and not have to pay for it.
No, I agree. It's just they're hit and miss on their quality.
Yeah, also that's true. Russo Bros.
Hey, yeah.
Good actors.
Yeah, it's got a lot going for it. That's
based
that's
on a novel. Sure. So
whoa. Two? Who's the second one?
Well, Ryan Gosling's one and a half. No, and then Chris Evans is half. That. So that's two.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling is basically Plank from Edit and Eddie. There. It had been said.
No. That's a disservice to Plank.
That's right. He remember how one eye was bigger than the other? It really showed the emotion, unlike Ryan Gosling. Oh boy. So I guess, is there anything else you want to talk about, or should we just jump right into this? Because I think it's going to be a good conversation. We're doing the 2021 version of Candyman this time. It is 1 hour and 31 minutes, classified on IMDb as a horror thriller. Directed by Naya DaCosta. This is her second movie after a little indie. It's an indie movie called Little Woods. I don't know if any of you saw of that or saw it with Tessa Thompson.
I have not seen that, but I do like Tessa Thompson. She's a good actress, so I might.
She was great. Okay, I know her.
Yeah, and that if you haven't seen it, it is very good, and that's what not that only that, but that's one of the reasons I was excited for this. The other reason is that this was written in part by Jordan Peele, who we all know wrote and directed Keanu, the movie about the cat. That's pretty much it. That's what he's known for.
Yeah.
It's been downhill since then. Also written by Naya DaCosta and Wynn Rosenfeld, and starring Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. He plays Anthony McCoy in this one. If you don't know who he was the Manta in Aquaman. He's also been very good in Trial of the Chicago 7. He was in The Matrix Resurrections.
I can't think of it. The Watchmen TV series.
Yes, yeah, he won an Emmy for a supporting actor for his work in Watchmen.
Very good.
He was in Aaron's number one movie so far this year, Ambulance.
Number one worst thing I've seen in the past 25 years, Ambulance.
That can't be that bad.
No, it is.
Okay, fine. I dare you. Watch it.
I dare you.
I'm not saying that it's not bad, but are you trying to tell me that it's worse than Independence Day whatever the
hell it was called? This is not hyperbole. I hate that movie so much. It's the number one.
Worse than The Devil's Rejects.
Worse than which remix?
The Devil's Rejects.
Oh. Maybe. Close. Tie.
Anyways, moving on. It also stars Tiona Paris, who plays Brianna Cartwright in this one. She's known for Dear White People, Chirac, If Beale Street Could Talk, and The Photograph. She's actually been in some good stuff, and she's been good.
I've seen the Beale Street movie, which was very good, and she was good in it.
The other big names, Coleman Domingo plays a big character, William Burke in this one. Vanessa Williams returns as Anne Marie McCoy. Michael Hargrove plays Sherman Fields, and Tony Todd makes a brief appearance as Daniel Robitaille, the original Candyman.
The briefest of appearances.
Yeah, very, very brief. The synopsis on IMDb is a sequel to the horror film Candyman, 1992, that returns to the now gentrified Chicago neighborhood where the legend began. So their synopsis is a sequel to Candyman. That's their synopsis. Which isn't wrong. I guess I'll give them
that. That's true. It is that.
We'll get into a more detailed description of the plot in a bit, but let's go by the numbers first. On Rotten Tomatoes, the critics give it an 84%, giving it a 7.3 out of 10. The audience gives it a 72%, giving it a 7.6 out of 10. The consensus.
I'm just saying, compared to the IMDb.
The IMDb numbers, let's do the consensus for Rotten Tomatoes and we'll get to that. The consensus from the critics is Candyman takes an incisive, visually thrilling approach to deepening the franchise's mythology and terrifying audiences along the way, which I agree with pretty much. Now the surprising one, IMDb, the audience gives it a 5.9 out of 10. And
that is interesting.
I didn't do a deep dive, but I did look into that a little bit. There were a lot of ones that were given.
I bet I can guess.
I bet it's a lot of racism.
A lot of people saying, white people are the bad guys.
Yeah, run. I guess you could say that it's veiled racism. It's more... I can't tell you how many times I saw the word woke and the hatred. Just go woke and they just are shoving their politics in our face.
I'll give you one guess on the IMDb breakdown, which age bracket and gender gives the lowest score by far.
And if they broke it down by race, I could guess that one too.
Yep. But it is 45 plus year old males giving this a 5.5 out of 10.
With, of course.
Yeah. I mean, and that's over 5,000 votes counted. I mean, so.
And you want to know that the funniest thing is I saw not one, multiple of those that are just blatantly wrong, saying they ruined the original. Go back to being about scared. The original wasn't about a message.
Right.
What? Have you seen the original? All this does is expand and update onto that message. The original very much had a message similar to this one. Yeah, so that was, I think that IMDb rating is very low, and I think it's not for reasons pertaining to the quality.
Seems inaccurate.
Yes, I think it's more about disliking the theme and the message of the movie. Which, whatever, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I'm
no, not because wrong on that. I mean,
you're not.
We are all white men, and we know the tendency of white men is to get defensive and say, "No, not me. This movie's ridiculous."
Yeah, it's all review bombing.
Just think about it. Yeah. Think about what the message is saying. I mean, they're not. Everybody says, "Oh, they're just making white people the bad guys." That's not true. I mean, the things that they are bringing up and addressing are not made up. There's a reason they're being looked at.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. It drives me nuts because I know a lot of people that think that way, where it's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, because
where we live,
when you address something like they do in this movie, which is police brutality, everyone gets defensive about, well, all police aren't bad. No shit. We're not saying that. But the fact is, there are a lot of people being murdered by police officers. I mean, it happens. And of course, it's not the majority of them. But the issue can still be addressed and looked at just like any other issue. And it doesn't make it a bad movie for doing so.
Right. And because you don't agree with a theme or a message presented, you can appreciate a message without agreeing with a message. That is possible. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, I think. You don't have to agree with what they're saying. You can, at the same time, appreciate the message, and you can appreciate how the execution of portraying that message. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's unfortunate, but it's just one of those things.
Yep.
But digging into a kind of better description than a sequel to Candyman, I'm going to read a little bit of a storyline breakdown here. So this is many years after the original, obviously. It takes place in, what, 2021? It came out
2019, right? I think.
Okay. So basically, these two couples move into the now gentrified Cabrini Greens, and a chance encounter with an old-timer exposes Anthony, played by Yahya Abdul-Mateen, to the true story behind Candyman. Anxious to use these macabre details in his studio as a fresh grist for paintings, he unknowingly opens a door to a complex past that unravels his own sanity and unleashes a terrifying wave of violence. Much better description than the one given by IMDb.
Yes.
And that was given by a user on IMDb, so good for that guy. Or girl. Or
it's like,
girl.
Well... Yeah, it's like, well, they clearly didn't feel necessary to write it out, so I'll do it.
Right. So let's go into first thoughts. Matt, you chose this, and you had seen this before. So tell me why you chose this. Tell me your first thoughts the first time you saw it, and if those were any different, better, or worse this time.
So the reason why I chose it is because, I mean, we've already done the original Candyman, and this was free on Prime. My other choice was a movie that when I checked was $20 to rent, and then apparently it went to $6 the next day, but I was like, yeah, whatever. The first time I saw this, it's one of those movies that, like, it sticks with you for a while, and that's because of the themes in the movie. And you know, given that when this movie came out, it was either right before or shortly after the George Floyd protests started, so it was really like a timely movie. And then watching it again this year, It's still very, I think it was in my top five of last year, and I would still put it in there, maybe top three of last year. I don't remember, but it's still a very, very good movie. Great performances. It's wonderfully shot. I do have a couple of issues with it, but they're very minor issues.
Yeah, we should also say this was Matt's number two movie of 2021.
Okay, so it was in my top three.
So, yeah, yep.
So, Aaron, had you seen this before, or is this your first watch?
I had not. I did plan on, even before you picked this, I planned on doing it because I'm actually playing catch up for everybody's list from 2021. So I'm glad that I got the chance to see it. My initial impressions were, what I most liked about the original was the fact that, I mean, number one, I think my favorite thing about the original was the soundtrack, which is incredible. And number two, horror is best when it explores something more than just being scary and showing gore. And Candyman, the original, did that, which is, I mean, that's what the whole revival of the horror franchise, specifically from A24, is all about. These types of movies that explore something other than just, ooh, look at me, I'm spooky. So this one, I was pleased to have enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I thought maybe it was, even with Jordan Peele's involvement, I thought maybe it's just kind of a cash grabby type of thing to come back to it after a lot of subpar sequels and to try to revive the franchise. But it did feel well thought out and fresh and well made. I hadn't seen what Naya DaCosta, her other movie. I had never seen it, but I'll keep an eye on what she does in the future because this was really well made.
Yeah, I will say if there was ever a franchise that deserved the Halloween treatment more than Halloween, it's this one.
Yeah, you mentioned you're looking forward to what she comes out next. I was disappointed when I looked it up. And her next movie is Captain Marvel 2, or it's called The Marvels now.
Of course it is.
And it's like, so the one part of me is like, good for her. She's made through the big time. She's going to make bank making that movie, I'm sure.
But doesn't the other part of me hurt?
Keep doing movies with a voice. Don't be part of the cog. Don't be part of the big machine. That's disappointing. But my initial thoughts, I had not seen this before either. This was my first watch. And yeah, I think this was a wonderfully thought out sequel. This was a sequel that honored the original, respected the original, built upon the original, on the original, and expanded on the original, in expanded on its own little world, expanded on the mythology, expanded on the themes, everything. It took what already existed, brought fresh ideas and fresh viewpoints to what existed, and we got a great movie out of it. I enjoyed almost every aspect of it. Almost. I say almost, we'll get into it, but it was good. And like Matt said, it lingers. Maybe not so much the shock factor of the violence or whatever. We've all seen a million horror movies, but that's the sign of a smart movie, or at least a well-written movie or a well thought out movie. The ideas linger with you. They make you think about it. Good or bad, agree or disagree, doesn't matter. The point is to get you thinking, and this does it. All right. So, Matt, you chose this. Where do you want to start? What stood out to you? Do you want to start with the performance, a scene, a theme? What?
Well, my show, you give me too much power. yeah, let's start with the performances, because there, to me, I don't think there was, almost with the exception of one very specific character, I don't think there was a bad performance in this movie. The main cast is all fantastic. For having no speaking lines, the guy who plays Sherman, I can't remember his name, is a pretty spooky ghost.
Yeah, he was great. His name is Michael Hargrove, to give him credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Hargrove. The one, and this is one of my, albeit small, nitpicks about the movie, is the guy who played the art dealer, the most annoying character. I hated every single speaking line he did. I sat there, like the first time it didn't bother me as much. I was like, because I was caught up in the movie, but watching it on subsequent go-throughs is like, man, they couldn't get another take out of this guy. He's the worst character, and it's like so the worst satisfying actor to watch him worst die.
Character.
Both.
He's not the worst character. He might be the worst actor, but the gay brother was the worst character. Because why does the gay guy have to be a cartoony buffoon sidekick comedic relief? It just was goofy.
Oh,
it
took
away
him.
From what the rest. It was. It just didn't fit the rest of the movie.
Sure it did.
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all.
There, no. Like in the art world, that 100% fits.
I don't know. It felt like a cartoon character.
Well, that's fair. I enjoyed him. I guess I don't know that there was really.
And he's barely in the movie.
A point for him to be in it. Yeah, I don't know why.
He's there to give the exposition about Helen Lyle from the first movie.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, we got to get that story out there. So, yeah. But I thought he did fine playing the character, and I didn't mind the character.
Well,
and
the art dealer either. There.
I didn't see the art dealer bugged the piss out of me.
Really?
And like, I get that he's like supposed to be a shitty character and you're not supposed to like his character, but I didn't like the performance either.
I will say I'm happy. Not that I'm happy, but I was worried that because I saw her listed in the credits, I was worried they were going to do like what Texas Chainsaw did and what Halloween did and bring back the lead character to be this, you know, like tough female character, badass come to.
Yeah, she died at the end of the first movie.
Yeah, but everybody's dead in these movies. It's a horror movie.
Well, that's fair.
Not everybody. The mom didn't die.
No, they brought her. You know, and I might be an idiot and just completely forgot, but the fact that, and spoiler alerts ahead, the fact that the main character was the baby that was kidnapped in the, I completely did not put that together at all until they made the reveal. And I'm like, oh, I should have caught that way before now, but I didn't.
Yeah, I even before I watched this, I went back and I read like a synopsis or a, you know, a cheat sheet on the original Candyman. And it talks about how the neighbor is Anne Marie McCoy, and it talks about how her baby Anthony got taken. And I still am watching it this whole time. This dude's named Anthony McCoy, and I'm like, yep, no clue. And they're like, oh,
yep,
that Anthony McCoy.
Right. I mean, now. To be fair, I also didn't catch it the first time. But you know, I haven't watched the original Candyman since we reviewed it. So you know, I think it's forgivable to not catch on right away.
But I like that aspect of the story. I like that he has a connection to the area. He has a connection to the Candyman himself or the legend. I like that he's connected to it all. There's a reason for this all to be happening. Yeah. To him specifically, I mean.
And
yeah.
And while we're on the subject of characters, I can both appreciate it, but it irks me that Tony Todd is in it for literally 2 seconds at the end. And it's like a digitally de-aged Tony Todd.
But I personally loved, and tell me if you agree, because this is one of the things I loved most about what they did with the legend of the Candyman. I love that they made, instead of one person is the Candyman, Todd what's Daniel Robitaille being the Candyman. He said, what was the line that William Burke said? He's not one man. He's the whole hive.
He's the whole damn hive.
Yeah. And that every black person, black male, whatever however you want to frame it, that is unjustly murdered by the police or the wealthy in the case of Robitaille or whatever the white people in power are in whatever situation, they just become a part of this legend that is the Candyman, and Candyman is all of them and represents all of them. I love that.
And I am super on board with everything that you just said. Like the way that they built upon the existing legend is just great. And that's why, like, I can appreciate that they put Tony Todd in it because he's part of that.
Yes.
But at the same time, like,
and he was the original Candyman and still right. is in this one. And they like, still
either,
honor
either
that.
Either put him in a little bit more or put him in a little bit less. Like, it's like, don't put him in at all.
At least use his voice more.
Right. Yeah. As, like he has two factor. Words. Exactly. And like, I get that, like, the main Candyman that you're seeing throughout the movie is Sherman, which is appropriate. And I'm on board with that. But towards the end, when Tony Todd is doing like his monologue at the end, and you see Anthony walking around the car, and every yes. window he passed, it's a different person.
Yes.
Which, by the way, that shot, that whole scene, not just that shot, is amazing.
Yeah. Every aspect from
the
of
point,
it.
From the point they put her in the back of that police car, and it's all one long shot of witnessing that happening outside of the police car from her perspective, man, it's so good.
And the yes. sound design, the music, the Tony Todd's voice, everything about it. Yeah, that was a great
but scene. Yeah, I wish that, like, even if it, because you don't need to have, you know, geriatric Tony Todd showing up being the Candyman and stuff, but I like your idea, Shane, is that they could have at least used his voice more.
Yeah,
because the other guy didn't have any lines. Like, he never said a word.
But like you said, even with that, he was incredibly effective and creepy. And
yes, I very good very ghost. Good. Very, very creepy smile.
The other reason I loved the fact that they made Candyman all of these people is that it not only does that work with the themes, but it also allowed them to expand the themes to where the original Candyman, some could write it off as, that was just one isolated incident of racism, of violence towards Black people specifically. Now it's all encompassing. It's
yep.
It expands the scope to include all of those instances. It's not one isolated instance of one bad person. It's the theme is that it's this system or these entities like the police that continue to do these things for all these years, and it simmers over and keeps building up. And it's like William Burke in the movie says again, we need the Candyman. I love that it wasn't just a gimmick of like, hey, we want to get somebody other than Tony Todd. There was right. a reason for it all, and they worked it into not only the story but the themes that were presented.
Yes, and I mean that we can just go right into the story from there. That's a great jumping off point, because like in the first movie, and for the most part in this movie up until the end, Candyman was always a symbol for Black suffering. And then William Burke tries to take that legend and turn it into like a tool of vengeance, which is right. a great, like, it's a heavy hitting plot twist. But then encompassing all of that, you've got Anthony who learns about the legend, and then he starts painting all the faces of all the different Candymen, and he doesn't know what he's, he has no idea what's happening to him. And there's some really great body horror in this, because he gets a bee sting, and that just progressively gets worse and worse and worse. And you seem kind of like deteriorating over the course of this whole movie. And it's really effective body horror. But yeah, that also, great. It leads me into my like final teeny tiny gripe about this movie is like, nobody told him to go to the doctor before.
I kept thinking that, like, dude, stop picking at it. Go get it looked at.
Right.
Yeah. And even at the doctor, they were just like, yeah, you were born here. Goodbye. And he was like, really? I was born here. Okay. Bye. He wasn't listen, lady, this is going everywhere now. What's happening? Not well, like it, I didn't come here to figure out where I was
it born. Sounded like after that, you know, she told him to whatever, because they were going to inject him with something or another. And then it cuts and he's walking down the hallway of the apartment building. So the way I interpreted that is like she wanted to help him, but he just got up and left.
Yeah, I guess that could be. Yeah, maybe that's the case. But I don't know. I agree with that gripe because it's like, man, and even if I could buy that he would not make the decision to go because he's obviously he's going through some right. stuff. He's deteriorating, like you said, physically, but also mentally. He doesn't know what's going on. I could buy that. But his girl isn't. I mean, there's people around him that are seeing this on him. They're just like, yes. Hey, don't pick. Not like, oh my God, we need to go to the ER immediately.
Right. Like even his mom doesn't react.
Yeah, right.
He's like, she's like, you should go to a hospital. And he's like, I did. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, if I were his mom, I'd be like, no, we're going like right now.
That was the biggest moment of like, what is everyone around you doing? You're gross. It's weird.
Yeah.
Why is that not being addressed?
But yes, if you know, aside from that, because it's used to really good effect, and then they have that whole sequence when Birkin is like sawing off his hand and he's just sitting there with a blank expression on his face, like, oh, it's so good. It's such good body horror. We need
to go back into the themes. I love you mentioned the connection to specifically around this time that it came out was the George Floyd, but there were a lot of police brutality instances, murder, use of force instances, things like that, that were being protested. And the big slogan of those was say their name. And yes. to be able to incorporate that into an art, what already existed of the context of say his name in the Candyman universe, I think just even hit those themes. I mean, it might feel like too on the nose, but it
has to be.
Yeah. Well, yes, that, and it just fits so perfectly within what already existed that it was almost like it was meant to be. It was because that was Candy say my name. That was always his thing. So it's not like they're just shoehorning that in just for the message. It just happens
if I remember correctly, right, that was one of our complaints about the original, is that it didn't really explore those themes enough.
Yes. And this is Candyman that continues to explore, because I went back and listened to our thoughts just to kind of gauge what we all said on the original. And that was what our consensus basically is, that it brought up these themes, it touched on these themes, and then it kind of went into just a basic horror movie, where this fully expands on those themes. And I loved it for it.
Yeah.
Aaron, you mentioned the soundtrack of the original, right?
Yep. Which was much different than this. It was different. kind of a series of simple riffs on a piano that
they bring that back in throughout. This too.
Yeah, but this did not feel the soundtrack right at the beginning. I sent you guys a text. I was super excited. I thought we were going to get another great soundtrack. And it just didn't carry the momentum from the beginning, I don't think. There was no real through line of some repeated theme or anything that would. It just felt, in most spots, it felt generic. And I wanted more. I was after that initial thing, I was a bit disappointed that it didn't carry throughout the entire thing.
I guess the only bit of music that ever stuck with me for this movie was the actual like Candyman theme.
Yeah.
Which is done really, really well here.
But they only use it in what, two spots?
Yeah. Maybe? Yep. They use it during the recap of the first movie when the brother's telling the story, and then during the end credits. That's the only time.
Yep. Which
are the greatest ending credits I've ever seen. Holy crap.
Well, the end credits, and even, I mean, we're talking about the exposition, but if you're going to do exposition, at least do it in a sweet artistic.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
puppet show, shadow puppet show, or something.
Well, and it was not. They made it fit because that was William Burke, the one of the main characters of the guy that tells all the story. He, as a child, when we first see him encounter Sherman Fields' version of the Candyman. Before that, he and his little brother are playing with those puppets. So
it yep. fits into that character and what we've already seen that he was into. And the whole, as Matt pointed out earlier, a lot of this movie is centered around the art scene. So it fits into that aesthetic. So it wasn't just shoehorned in there for no reason. It still fit, at least from a visual standpoint. And like I said, it existed for a reason.
Yeah. But yeah, that's outside of that Candyman theme. I'll agree that music is largely forgettable.
Yep. Which was disappointing.
Yeah, unfortunately so. That's too bad, but oh well. let's get into the actual horror elements, because this is a horror movie, and by that I mean the kills, the bloodshed, the violence.
There's a lot of it.
What did you think about that in this movie? Was it effective? Was it scary at all?
I loved it. The use of mirrors and
anything reflective.
Because they never outright show Candyman killing anybody in this movie
until the end. Well, right, but then it's not even really the Candyman. It's just anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is, but it is. Yeah. Anyway. Up until like that final when he kills all the cops. But even then, like, you don't see him doing it. Like when he kills the art dealer, you see him in the mirror behind him, but then the camera cuts to like the other room looking in, and all you see is the guy like dangling.
You see him reflected in one of the art pieces that really tiny black tall structure, whatever the hell that was, goofy art piece. But
when he so kills good. the art critic, you don't see him, you just see her body.
Great death scene.
Oh, come on, that shot.
Yeah. Okay,
first of all, that whole sequence of him in the mirror is incredible.
Yes.
And then he's just like, I gotta go. And you think that's the end of the scene, and it's pulling out slowly. It's just a super wide take of the apartment, and then she just gets annihilated against the glass.
not like pulled, like zoomed out within the apartment, pulled completely out of the building. Like, we're out of the building zooming away. So we see her window among all these windows, and she's just smashed against one side of the glass and dragged and across the other.
Bloody streaks.
Oh, that was such I hate to use the word beautiful for such a scene, but it was beautiful. Right. That's a great scene.
Yeah. And when he kills all the high school girls, and you, amazing. You just see him in the tiny little mirror,
little pocket mirror thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to touch on cinematography, because for the amount of what's not shown or shown in glimpses, I mean, it's super creative. And I mean, I've never even heard of this guy before, John Gulasarian. And I looked through his, I haven't seen anything this dude's made, to be honest.
I haven't either, but I did look him up a little bit. And there's a podcast called the Cinepod podcast. I hope I'm getting that right. Yeah. I hope I'm remembering that correctly. It's all about cinematography and movies. And they had him on an episode specifically to talk about Candyman, but also his career. And they talked a little bit about working with Naya Da Costa, and they went in intending for it to look and feel like the original, specifically wanting that kind of aesthetic and feel, which I think they nailed. But then for all of the mirror stuff and the kills and the violence and how that would look, they sat down and together storyboarded like every single shot of how it would go down, and just so they could be prepared and ready to rock. But yeah, they nailed it. I mean, even the shots of just hallways and walking down out of the hospital through that long tunnel, whatever it was, just beautiful, beautiful shots.
I do want to say that I am 100%. I looked up this guy's, the cinematographer's filmography. And this is a tangent, but this dude's got a movie coming out in 2023 called Cocaine Bear. And as you might expect, the synopsis is about a black bear who eats a load of cocaine from a plane crash. I can only hope that it's just a great...
Is it just like a crazy movie?
I hope it's a Nick Cage movie.
It's Ray Liotta before he passed, apparently.
No.
Yes.
Oh, and
is this going to be
that.
The last movie that Ray Liotta was
Ray
in?
Ray Liotta, Kerry Russell, O'Shea Jackson Jr. Really?
So that's a legitimate movie.
Yeah.
I was hoping that'd be like just a B movie where this bear just goes and fucks up his small town.
I'm still hoping that's what it is. Cocaine bear.
Oh, man.
Anyway, back to the story. Sorry.
Yeah. Back to this guy's work in Candyman, though. Like you said, you already mentioned that scene at the end. It just unbelievably amazing.
Has to be my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Lit up by the police lights, with the voiceover by Tony Todd, the visuals of the Candyman with Yahya Abdul-Mateen II with the coat
and a swarm
on hook,
of
and a
bees.
Swarm of bees. Yeah, loved it. It was just there were no scenes of violence in this movie. At least to me, that were incredibly tense. It was not horror built through tension, like say Hereditary, something like that. But it was just an absolutely perfectly thought out and executed visual horror. Every scene was planned out and executed perfectly. It was and down from what you could see, how long you could see it for, through what, like a little makeup mirror or whatever the case. It was all just, it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic.
And you knew the first kill, the art director guy, whatever.
Yes.
And his girlfriend or
whatever. His girlfriend first and then him. Yeah.
Which I will say that was the funniest scene. Where he storms out of the art gallery after saying, you know, you can get a stock up on Plan B to fund your intern program. Yeah. And the girl goes, you know, I'm on the NUVA ring.
but I'm what I've the that's the first kill scene, and it sets the tone for what to expect, because I was expecting more, I don't know, conventional stuff out of this movie. I wasn't expecting it to be as creative because you see just the projector screen being slit in half and you're like, what the hell? I mean, and then you see just this tiniest little reflection of what's actually happening. And it shows the Candyman and then he's looking in the mirror. And like I said, the reflection off the art piece and the slight reflection on the door as he's trying to get out, but then he gets stabbed in the Achilles, on his heel.
Yeah.
And then just drags him in there to kill him.
Well, and even the first, like when he does the summoning, and he's like goofing around with it, trying to freak out his girlfriend, and it cuts to a wide angle and you can barely see his reflection in the window, but he's there. And that happens a few times throughout the movie where it's like, he's barely in this reflection, but you can see him. And it's kind of like what the Invisible Man did, where they kind of create that tension out of nothing.
Yeah. Make you look for what isn't there so that every single inch of the frame becomes what could be there.
Yep. And then again, going back to the art critic death scene, the moment before that, when he's looking in the hallway, and I thought that was a great scene. I mean, for every piece of it, to show him deteriorating mentally, and when he sees the Candyman, and then he sees his own reflection as the, you know, just rotting corpse of a dude. And then she comes out and she's like, are you okay? And then you can just see him. He has no clue what's real and what's going on. And credit to Yahya Abdul-Mateen. But man, he was good in this.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was very good.
But I mean, the cinematography is top notch for me, basically across the board. There's not much that I didn't like, from how things were set up to the way it was lit, to the way it played out, the subtle or not so subtle nods to the original when at the very end where it kind of goes nuts when I can't remember his name, Burke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got the sweets for the sweet, whatever saying written on the walls behind him. And he, I mean, it's just all, we talked about this with Top Gun, where it's so hard to come back to something 30 years later. This isn't quite, is this 30 years? It is. 92.
Yeah.
Yep. To come back 30 years later after multiple bad sequels to pay respect to the original and to, in my opinion, improve on it and make a good movie. It's so hard to do and to pull it off as well as they did. It's I mean, credit to everybody involved.
Yeah. And I like that they, like we've already mentioned a few times, they expanded on the original and they did it in a way where they didn't feel like they needed to, like a lot of movies that are either sequel, remakes, whatever, where they have to throw in all these bull crap, just Easter egg crap, just for fan service.
Yes.
Everything that they brought back from the original was to serve this movie's story. It was not just brought in for the sake of, hey, remember this? It was right. Brought in to specifically drive this story.
Yes, yeah. And that's
Star
the
Wars
way
could
that
take a few lessons from this.
Star right. Wars definitely could. But thankfully, I don't think there's going to be any more movies. Knock on wood. I think the Star Wars movies are finally done.
I thought I just heard the
Taika
Waititi.
What?
He's in the Star Wars universe now. He said that he has been given the leash to do something not connected in any way to the previous Star Wars movies, just to expand the universe in its own. We're not talking about Star Wars, but right. Should be fun.
Last thing I want to say, point out that I love is how all of the black people in this movie just basically were not going to be any part of the typical like horror movie tropes of,
yeah,
like, when they were talking about, hey, let's say Candyman, they were all like, what was the line? I think it was, black people don't need to be summoning shit.
Yeah. And then when the lady opens the laundromat door to the basement, she just says nope and walks away.
Yeah. Or when he goes to see his mom and he starts talking about the Candyman, and she's like, nope. Like, just stop him dead in his tracks. Like, they're just not having it, and I love that. But we've got we're running against the clock. I think we've talked about this enough to rate it. We're at that point. So to give it some context, who wants to go first?
I can start it because I did think about this.
So,
and
Aaron, you gave Candyman 1992 a 7 out of 10.
Yep.
What do you give this one?
I give it. And I did think about this. I do like this one more than the original. It's just really well-made movie, and it does what the original does in a better way. It maybe not as much on the horror elements, but more body horror and slasher-type scenes. But I give it a 7.5.
Okay. Matt, that's what you gave Candyman 1992. So what do you give this one?
This movie is all, like, for me, this movie is almost perfect. Like, there's just those couple of weird nitpicks that I have, but that doesn't detract from the movie as a whole in the slightest. I'm going to give this an 8.75. Great performances, great cinematography, the best ending credits sequence of any movie I've ever seen. If you haven't watched it, I can't recommend it enough, especially if you liked the first Candyman.
Yeah, I gave the original Candyman a 7.5. There are things I liked better about that one. I Tony Todd's voice, I think I mentioned it during that review, playing on my surround sound, that creeped me out.
He's just got such a nice bass.
Oh my God, that was great. But what I wanted and what I said I wanted then was an expansion on the themes and to explore those more. And that's exactly what this did. The unfortunate part, I guess, if you can call it that, is that the horror was more visually focused, and I wanted more horror, either tension, whether it was horror that just kind of nags at you. The horror was there, but it was done through violence and through the visuals, and there was no real tension. So I wish there was, but because of that, I'm going to give it an 8.25.
Kind of fits with the themes, though, because the horror,
yes,
being violence focused is a direct reflection of the violence.
It is. It is, but so, I just mean, wish
that thematically it works.
I just wish that horror element of tension was there. And maybe music would have helped. I don't know, but
yeah, I mean, I think music definitely would have helped it out a bit.
But yeah, I'm giving it an 8.25. I didn't do the math. What does that come out to? Anybody know?
8.17.
Okay, and that's a B plus. For comparison's sake, Candyman 1992 got a 7.34, which is a B minus. So this is almost a full point better than that, in our opinion. Which I'm fine with. I like that.
And it does. I mean, it puts it in good company for movies for all this right. or that. Real quick, for movies that we've reviewed. First up, it's right. It's just slightly, barely above the movie Us. And I would watch Candyman over Us.
That's really tough for me
too. I like the story better.
Yeah. I think I've already watched Candyman more than I've watched Us. Well, maybe. I think I've seen each movie three times, so never mind. But I think I would watch this again before I watch Us again.
Yep.
Okay, and it is right at the exact same score as Bone Tomahawk. I would choose Bone Tomahawk,
which I still have not seen.
That's partly my affinity for Westerns, partly that's just an absolutely amazing movie.
So good. Right at The Thing. It's a little bit lower than The Thing.
Why is The Thing that low?
I mean, that's,
I don't know.
Brent gave it under an 8, jerk.
I was going to say, who lowballed
I don't think thing? I was on that, because I'll be honest, that would have been another 10 for me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I might like have to retroactively adjust. I think I get like I don't remember what I gave it, but it was really high. I remember that.
Okay, so real quick, we'll just say this or that through these. These are some good movies right around here. So, Rogue One. I think I go that.
This.
I'd probably watch that one more often. And it's
Logan.
I think it's this.
This
Logan. I go this. Yep. Bad Times at the El Royale. I go that.
I still haven't seen that.
This
Get Duked. I go
that movie.
Get Duked is so good.
That movie was, I think it's funny once.
No, because I've seen it multiple times. It still cracks me up. It's just the whole mood. It's just that party silly. The music is perfect. I love it.
Okay. A few more horror movies that are close around this area. Dr. Sleep. Yes. I think I go that.
Yeah, I love that movie. That movie's
like 3 hours.
It's good though, man.
I love that director. I love that movie. I love the story. Yeah, that.
Unbreakable, and that's easy for me. I go that. Yep,
that.
I think I go this over Unbreakable.
Okay. Audition.
I might go that. Audition's some really, really good body horror.
Yep, I might go that too. And then lastly, The Fly. And I probably go Candyman.
I think I'm going this.
That's tough.
It is tough. I love The Fly too.
Is it because, as you said in the review, of Jeff Goldblum's cute little butt?
Yeah. He's got a cute little butt. There is that.
You know what? I changed my answer.
I abstain. I don't think I can choose between those. Because the effects on his arm in this movie is very Cronenberg.
Yeah,
it is.
Definitely. So what do we say? 8.17. So a B plus for Candyman 2021. That's going to be it for this episode. I forget who's coming up next, but we'll have an episode.
It's to Mike and Brent if they want
to
join, and then to you if they're not.
Nice.
So it's to Shane.
So it's probably to Shane. if you guys want to hear us review a specific movie, if you want to give us some thoughts on, if you listen to an episode, want to tell us where we were right or wrong, all of that can be done at our website, moviereviewcrew.com. You can also hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. All of those are the Movie Review Crew, or Letterboxd if we're still doing that, as Movie Review Crew, just no the on Letterboxd, but get in touch with us. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know where we were right or wrong. And give us your input. We'll bring up your discussion in our episodes and respond to you. So give us some input. And if that's it, Anybody else have any parting words about Candyman, or are we good?
Nope. See it. I mean, if you have
Prime, see it.
It's free. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the big one. If you have Prime, it's free on Prime. Yep. 100% go watch it.
Definitely worth it.
So I guess if that's it, somebody end the show.
Tell your friends.
Let's go. But inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night. And good luck.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Movie Review Crew. Remember to like us and find us on any of your favorite social media platforms, as well as go to our website, moviereviewcrew.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.